thank my co-authors when they come up. Sangu Angadi has already given a presentation today. Robert Flynn is here in the audience, and Dan Smeal is still in Farmington. I'd like to talk about canola adaptation under irrigated production in New Mexico. As Dick Auld said this morning, or was it this afternoon? I guess he gave kind of a breakdown along longitudinal lines of where different canola production areas would be in the West. And New Mexico, being a square state, has has all three things. But some of the issues that we're looking with canola are global increases in prices. We've seen in the local newspaper back in March 2008, they kind of missed it because they were at 103, and then we peaked out at $138 per barrel. Unfortunately, New Mexico thought that was going to continue to rise, and it made its budget and the legislature based on $140 a barrel cost of oil. And so we have a number of issues that have recently been in the news: global warming, increased greenhouse gases, and things like this. We have the polar ice decreasing, traffic and smog, and our friends here, the power plants. There are a number of reasons that we've been looking at canola for a possible biofuel, an alternative to some of the petroleum production use. We will not be able to totally substitute, but it is a partial partial substitute. The Department of Energy and USDA have put together the billion-ton booklet that many of you have already seen. This is about 3 years old now. We have tremendous increases in our biodiesel demand. We have a number of refineries throughout the western United States, but there's still a need for increased number of refineries. Some of the benefits of biodiesel include diversifying our fuel supply and postponing the shortages that will come one way down the line when our petroleum products decrease, stretching the petroleum fuel we have, increasing consumer choices, a number of different choices that we may be able to look at through biodiesels. And of course, dampening those spikes that we have seen over time, looking at alternatives that you as a consumer may be able to have. Some of the traits for an ideal biodiesel crop would include adaptation to the region, high resource use efficiency, and of course, high seed production. Here in this room, we're looking at seed production and seed oil content, suitability for biodiesel production, low production costs. We'd all like to decrease our costs while we increase the production, how it fits into our particular cropping system, and of course, we want to have a demand for the byproduct. As Sangu this morning was talking, or earlier this afternoon, was talking about the use of the meal in that West Texas area is more important, in fact, than the oil. Looking at New Mexico as a state, there are three areas that we are working on canola. Here in Farmington, where I'm working, over in Clovis, where Sangu is working, and then down in Artesia, where Robert Flynn is working. There are also opportunities that exist. There is a refinery in Dove Creek, Colorado. There's a cottonseed refinery down in Anthony. And then in Clovis, there is a refinery that has recently been sold. The Blue Sun refinery has been bought out, and hopefully that will get in production. So there are opportunities for processing canola seed into oil and meal. Look at some of the precipitation amounts over in the Farmington area and down through the Central Basin. of the state, the average is about 7.5 inches of rainfall. Further east in the area that Dr. Gould was speaking about, that basin of 13, 17, 18 inches of rainfall is where Artesia is located, down in the south. And then the further east, Clovis is located in that continuation of the Texas High Plains. There are a number of potential oilseed crops that we can be using, and a lot of them are already under development one way or another. Cotton, soybeans, sunflower, safflower, camelina, mustard, castor. But today we'll just look at canola production in the New Mexico area under irrigation. Back in 1989, nearly 20 years ago, we figured out that indeed there was a decrease in canola yield as you departed from a time period of after August. So at August 8th, you had good yields all the way across for these five different varieties. And that was about the same for the late August planting. But once you got into that early September, and no yield whatsoever at the end of the September. So we knew that time of planting was a cutoff time of in the neighborhood of the end of August, that last week of August. Using a line source sprinkler irrigation, we found that there is a definite increase with water application. We were talking about the increase of nitrogen use earlier this afternoon. We are still on a linear increase, 865, 860 millimeters is equivalent to approximately 35 inches of rainfall of irrigation. And there's a definite difference between different varieties. Now, I'm one of the sites for the Northwest canola, excuse me, the National Winter Canola Variety Trials. And there, I've grouped these by the different regions in the southeast, the Midwest, the Great Plains, and the Northwest. These are the way they're grouped in the annual report. And I've put down the maximum mean site along with its maximum entry for the four regions. And we can see that the maximum in Alabama was approaching 5,000 kilograms per hectare. And the mean was in the neighborhood of 3,500 kilograms per hectare, while the mean for the whole region was in the area of 1,700 kilograms per hectare. The productivity in the Midwest section and the Great Plains and Northwest was about the same. And we're producing varieties that have maximum yields in the neighborhood of 6,000 kilograms per hectare. And here at 5,500 in Farmington and in Washington, it's also approaching 6,000 kilograms per hectare during the 2008 trials. Going to the 2009 trials, we also see decreased area, decreased productivity in the southeast. The Midwest has increased productivity over the southeast and about comparable to that northwestern area, while the Great Plains region seems to have the highest productivity, and Farmington was approaching 6,000 kilograms per hectare. This is labeled wrong. But there's tremendous productivity that we see in the canola under irrigated conditions. We're using a line source. This year we've used a line source again with five different varieties. One is quite flat, while the others continue to rise in productivity up to about 35 inches. The line source, as you know, gives you a continuing decrease of water application as you move from the center line, the irrigation line, as you approach the extremes of the plots. And the productivity of canola is very nice because it can go into biodiesel both at that commercial size and on the on-farm size. So small-scale farmers can use it, or the large-scale refineries. There are a few notes of caution that I'd like to raise. We all know the economy is in turmoil, and that the bottom line really is the economic productivity of a particular crop. So we're not sure how it's going to move. There are food for fuel issues and quandaries about using a product for a food versus a fuel. Global versus local land utilization issues. A lot of the canola and these other oil seeds will be used in areas that are less productive. In the international sector, there's marginalization of resource-poor farmers, pollution of the green industry byproducts. We're looking at things that are coming out of the production of biodiesel that can possibly be a pollutant. And there's the increased consumption of petroleum products that we really should have to address one way or another, but that's a social issue way beyond the scope of this particular forum. And finally, we have to look at these whole things in the sense of stability. Our bottom line is economics. Can we economically produce something that will go into a biodiesel? The next step that we are currently doing is looking at the economics of irrigated canola at this particular scale, because we can't really say if yield is wonderful at 6,000 kilograms per hectare, is it really economically viable? And that's what we're looking at now. With that, I'd like to say thank you very much. If there are any questions.